This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
My favorite modern E3 tradition is Charles Martinet always just hanging around outside Nintendo's. Yes. And I don't think they like invited him there.
He said my whole name there. Once.
Yeah.
Because like, they took all these people's names from the press event, and then he was like, "Welcome to," and then he'd read a name and he's like, "Samuel Claymore." And I was like, "Ah."
Yeah. Yeah, he was my old boss's voicemail message for a long time. Like, cornered him at like E3 once. Like,
it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Of course, we're talking about Santa.
And of course, that can only mean one thing. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop, the final GameScoop of 2018. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me for this, what, if I'm being honest, is going to be a bit of a goofball episode, is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
I didn't hear it was a goofball.
And CJ Gibson here.
Brap. Goof Scoop.
The ghost of Scoop, Chris, or the ghost of Scoop Future is here joining us. He's feeling very festive. We're also joined by Hanna-Barbera's Pac-Man. Christmas Comes to Pac-Land, and the all-time classic, Christmas classic, Koopa Claus.
1980s.
It also contains Santa Claus is Coming to Flatbush, Stars in Their Eyes and Too Hot to Handle, recorded in the LP mode.
There you go.
Excited?
Of course, put together by Kids Classics. That's KK. I don't know why they didn't just call it Kids Classics Company. Just go for the full thing. I don't know why. Also, their slogan is, "We make collectability a way of life."
Wow.
That's trademarked. You can't use that.
In 89.
The 80s were a simpler time.
They were.
Sam, why Flatbush? Why Santa?
I think the Mario Brothers were plumbers in New York, and Flatbush is an area of New York.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What are you pointing at
me for? We'll go with that.
Because it has those live segments, you know, where it's like the Mario Brothers and Captain Albano has people over.
Well, okay. All right, we do have a great show for you planned. Not a lot of big video game news to talk about in the final working days for us of the year, but we're going to share what we've been playing, what we plan to play over the holidays. Of course, we have the Dammy Awards coming up, the most prestigious
awards
in all of gaming.
Have we done this before?
The gentleman from PricewaterhouseCoopers brought the envelopes over. The winners are right here.
Oh, okay.
Like, can you imagine the developers out there that are watching this, like how anxious they must be right now?
They see the envelopes on the table.
No, the winners are in there, and they have to wait for it.
So we're going to make them sit through a bunch of garbage first.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's share what we've been playing, what we plan to play over our holiday break. I finally beat Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh.
I can't believe you beat it.
Yeah, finally. Well, you're really...
What happens in the end?
Near there, too. You're close to the end, too, I think.
Yeah, but I know I've got close to the multiple post-game things that happen.
The way I felt about that game... pretty close to the beginning is how I ended up feeling about it. Very, very impressive game on many levels, but it commits an unforgivable sin in that it doesn't feel good to play.
Mm. Right.
Like going. Well, you could forgive that if they change that with an update, right?
I mean, sure, yeah.
But that's how the game feels. Like, Rockstar games kind of feel like that. And even, like, when you...
Should they?
Well, that's a good question.
It's like, it's overburdened with too many systems and, like, mechanics that are trying to simulate reality. And it's like, that doesn't make the game more fun.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So actually, when I beat that, I went back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, oh, yes. This is how a video game is supposed to
you
feel.
You press a button and a thing happens right away.
I'm running around all of ancient Greece, just scrambling up mountainsides, and everything feels great and it's fast. I'm looting bodies just by, like, with the press of a button, just like poop, boop, looted 5 people in 3 seconds. Man, it's great. Love that game.
Indeed.
And then I also, I hope I'll be playing Smash Brothers because it was on my Christmas list from like family. You know,
you haven't started it yet.
No.
Christmas.
No. And I've got like five exactly nieces and nephews on my sister's side, so that'd be fun to play with them. I don't think they've ever played a Smash.
Hopefully all those little ones pulled their money together and got you a copy of Smash.
Yeah.
Well, they're working hard and might as well spend some of that money. Justin, you beat Smash Brothers.
I did. I beat World of Light.
Yeah.
World of Light never ends. It's way too long.
Until it ends.
Did you get all hundreds of spirits?
No, my completion rate is like 68%.
Still pretty good.
And so I am in like map cleanup mode now. If that's a mode, if you just sit down to play it like a single player campaign, I don't think it's that great. But it is perfectly designed to just bop in and out. Like, that's the way, that's what I would recommend anybody do. Like, go in there, do like, you know, 8 challenges and then just leave and then just spread it out over a month and you'll have a lot better time.
Man, nice. In a few more years, you're going to have kids to be able to grind that stuff up for you. That's amazing when you just go, hey, you know just what? Grind. I got a present for you.
My daughter, the only video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
My daughter is 4 and the only game she's ever played is Super Mario Odyssey. Her and I played it together. And then this weekend, we busted out. I showed her Super Mario Kart for the first time.
Awesome.
No, not Mario. Sorry. Mario Kart 8.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And like she's just like, it just like she didn't know that other video games like existed. And I'm like, no, here's this other Mario game. And they're racing together. And her and Bowser are friends. It's fine. They're just having a good time.
Yeah.
Like,
that's awesome.
I'm like, look, in this game, everybody's friends. They're just racing. No, I'm still playing a lot of Smash. I'm having a lot of fun going through classic mode with each character. They all have their own little custom mini campaign, and it gives you a chance to like learn each character. Smash Ultimate, it's probably game of the year.
Mm.
Wow. Nice.
Interesting.
Too late to vote.
Yeah.
Rip.
Because our awards will be up probably by the time this episode's live.
Yeah.
They're going up Friday morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, then they will be up by the time this is up, yeah.
That's awesome.
Sam, are you going to try and... plow through the end of Red Dead?
Yeah, I will for sure. But I've been playing on my Switch a lot. I've been re-rolling Katamari. Katamari Reroll is a reissue of the first Katamari Damacy game. And the music and the vibe and everything is so lovely to return to. Mm. And it's kind of what I keep on wanting to play. So that's unusual for a game from the 3D era for me to want to go back and play it that much.
The 3D era.
Yeah, because it's easier for me to jump into Super Metroid or... Mm-hmm. Mario Brothers gotcha. 2 or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I just fell right back into it because it's so simple, you know?
Yeah.
And then they kind of like took all of the things that were characteristically cool but ugly and just made them look the same, but they're not ugly anymore. They're like there's no jittering or texture problems or anything. And that really goes a long way in a game where you're rolling up a cat into a ball of garbage. you really need to see that cat wriggle because the cat wriggles.
That's really...
Yeah, so that's great. And then today we started a game that I can't talk about yet, but it's another 4-player Nintendo game that I think we'll be playing over the break.
Nice, man. Hmm?
Interesting. CJ, how about you?
This game called Destiny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard of
it. You're not playing that anymore.
I am still playing
it. You have to play it just because you're on that show?
I mean, I do, but the fact is, like, Destiny and I talk about this whole time. I got to bring it up now because it seemed odd not to.
Yeah.
Forsaken was a really good expansion. Destiny kind of had those grindy pains of the just game was kind of the same and not very good. A lot of people got in and out of it, but it is a really good game.
You know, they put out Destiny 2 like 2 years ago.
I do remember that. Still playing it.
But you're playing Destiny 2.
See, nobody knows. Everybody's just like, oh, this is Destiny game. It's a fun game. I will say, I'm going through God of War again, New Game Plus.
Whoa.
Makes me want to play that again because you have all your weapons and your
Do you play that with your children?
So I was going to ask you guys, what do you think? Because I have a 12-year-old. God of War
you should not ask me for parental
advice. Well, I know, but here's the thing, like you kind of always want to like look and everybody's like, oh, he's too young. But God of War is kind of like a fantasy style violence game. It's not Like,
yeah. Just don't play God of War 3 with your kids.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because God of War 3 and the previous ones are very sexualized. This doesn't have much of that, even though there's fantasy violence.
Yeah. Well, why does that bother you? Why does the sexualized stuff bother you more than, like, the stomping people's heads?
Because he doesn't want to explain it.
Because, yeah, there's questions that you get later on as a result of certain things.
He's just not ready yet.
Yeah, and at least God of War doesn't have that. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Would you let your 12-year-old play through that game?
The thing about that age in particular, like 11, 12, 13, 14, is that, like, the 13-year-olds can be very young. Or they can be very mature.
Yes.
And so it's sort of like a little bit of like, I think some probably are ready for a game like that and some probably aren't. So everyone needs to gauge for themselves. Like,
yeah.
It's different than when they're like 8. It's like, all right, you know, like obviously you're not going to be watching PG-13 movies mm-hmm. yet. But
yeah. Could you turn on like sweat mode where the blood is all sweat?
Oh, yeah, for Mortal Kombat? Yeah. Let's get
I MP1. Personally would say, this is just me speaking for me, I would say no because there's no putting that genie back in the bottle. Like, they're only young once, and so it's like, they're going to be able to play games like God of War for their entire life.
Yeah.
So you don't need to, like, rush into that, right?
It is true. It's one of those things where
I think... So you have to play it a third time, though.
Well, and that's okay. That game is amazing. It is one of those things where I feel like it would be okay if I played it with him, and I think a lot of these games, when you get a chance to play it and you can be with them, it's very different than letting them play it by themselves. Yeah, and I would actually like to experience that with him. So I do think he's a little bit young, but typically what happens is Call of Duty and all these other games, they end up playing at their friend's place.
Yeah.
So I'd rather play it with them. So,
yeah,
but
that's true.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Oh, I'm not a parent, but I would say when I was growing up, I basically had no restrictions on what I could play. When I was 10 years old, I was watching Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Terminator, Predator, yeah, all that stuff. Playing whatever video games I wanted. But of course, it's different now.
Like, yeah, it is.
There's the level of violence in God of War is much different than it was in the 80s.
It is. And he's a bit of an old soul. And I mean, I played Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 in the arcades all the time. Again, we were talking, there was no ESRB back then. But I mean, turned out okay, I think, for the most part. Okay, jury's out. But excited to play that. And then, yeah, I want to go into Assassin's Creed as well, too.
I have a question for you, since you mentioned Destiny. Since you're a Destiny man,
yeah,
how are you feeling about Anthem?
Ooh, yeah. So Anthem's one of these games where I think it's got that BioWare pedigree. People are really excited from a third-person standpoint, and just the story and lore. They're really good at that. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay verdict is still out. And I think that even from when I got a chance to play at E3, it feels really good. It looks really good. They're marketing it in a way kind of like an open-world game. We've obviously seen Destiny struggle with maintaining players. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know how long people will be invested into that space for. But the game looks and feels amazing to play.
You know, when you say it feels amazing, I played it a lot at E3.
Yeah.
It feels good to fly in that game.
It does.
I don't know if the shooting still feels very like much like you're... It's not... Whatever you're hitting is I know it's a cliched phrase, but it's a sponge.
It
is. It's like there's so much sponginess to like things that... But that can be tweaked and stuff, but I don't know. I just like games like... I mean, the opposite of that is a game like God of War, where like you're breaking off pieces
yes.
of the thing you're fighting constantly.
And God of War like feels amazing.
And I know those are not comparable. I'm just only comparing violence and damage in a game.
Yeah.
But like, or like actually Resident Evil 2 has like really good like, you know, just like when you're shooting something, like it's deforming and reacting and being different. And that's just the difference between like MMO style shooting games right now.
But it's weird.
It's not for everybody.
If you think of Uncharted, there's certain games where would you consider Uncharted an action platformer or shooter? There you go. I know, but that's what I mean.
After 2 months of these awards we've been giving out.
That's what happens, though.
No more genre discussions.
But when you play a game like Uncharted, do you feel like the shooting is really good in it? Because I don't. Right. Like, it feels a little bit like a soup mixer. You're kind of like figuring out where to shoot. And
well,
then
Red Dead kind of feels that way. Until it teaches you it again.
It's a little auto-targeting.
When I was playing those chapters in Red Dead, I was always just like, just shooting shoulders and feet constantly. It's like, oh, what is going on here?
Yeah,
so pretty good at it.
But Mass Effect, if Anthem feels like that, I think it might struggle a little bit because the shooting and the aerial maneuvers feel good when you're in the air, but on the ground it doesn't. Like you want to fly in that game, so I think there might be some things that they need to maybe tweak still. But it's coming out in February, so it's pretty close. So excited,
so close.
Hype level big, but we'll see if the expectation.
The hype is above
your head.
Hype
is right here.
Wow.
But we'll see if they can live up to it. Well, that's good to be.
All right, I know the developers out there are very anxious to get to the Damian Awards, but first...
your audience is really the developers?
Yeah. Sam, this is the most prestigious video game award show of the year, so everyone tunes in to watch.
Yeah, it's like the award show for award show people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The people that really care.
You know, like when you have a band's band?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the award show that only people that organize awards could really
Comedian's comedian.
Yes, exactly.
But let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey.
On the last episode, which none of these gentlemen were on.
Really?
We compared, the free games that you get with PlayStation Plus and games with gold.
Mm-hmm. Who won?
It was hard. Well, I mean.
The Nintendo thing?
The Nintendo thing is hard to compare. On the Nintendo Online, you get a batch of NES games to play with your service.
Yeah.
But Nathan out there did some math,
cranked the numbers up.
Thanks for the maths.
And came up with a value of the current offering on Nintendo Switch's online NES games. He says on the latest GameScoop, you gave the values of PS Plus and games with gold for the year. You couldn't give a value for Nintendo Online. Thought I would help. Put together a list of every game currently on Nintendo Online and their loose cost. Right now, it is a...
Whoa.
That's a drum roll.
$312.41 value.
Isn't it just like 20 NES games?
Ooh. Yeah. So it's weird, because how much are those games typically on the store?
The most expensive one right now, just from a cursory look at eBay, is River City Ransom. That goes for about $25.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Okay.
But I think that game's like $9 on the eShop. Like, I don't understand.
And that's the issue. How you value Nintendo games. Yeah, we've talked about this. They seem way overvalued.
You can't put a price on River City Ransom.
You can't. It's really good. It is a good game, but...
Well, there you go. Now, the games you got with PlayStation Plus this year were worth $1,500.
Yeah, I don't know.
Games with gold were worth just over $1,000.
Yeah.
But on the Switch, you get $312 worth of NES games.
With inflation, I don't know.
Can we cut back to that tight shot of Damon's sweatshirt? Yeah. Look how well that's reading. You can actually see the twinkling lights. If you're just listening to this episode, you really need to see what Damon's wearing.
It's so good.
Checking out
Cat. We'd like to hear from the cat now.
Rotate slowly sideways. There you go. All I think of is, I think the reason why I laugh so hard is I just kept thinking of Griswold's Christmas Vacation and the cat that obviously fries in the middle of eating.
It's a very sad part.
It is a sad part. Yeah. Spoilers.
Would you watch Christmas Vacation with your, what is it, 13-year-old?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, Christmas Vacation is the tradition. That is the Christmas movie we watch every year.
Right. I think you can handle
God of War. There's the one swear at the end of that movie, but it's fine. It's played to great effect.
It is. Mm-hmm. Chevy Chase.
I just showed that movie to my wife for the first time. She'd never seen it. She didn't like it at all.
What? No way.
It didn't play very well.
What is she?
To Mrs. Hatfield.
Mrs. Hatfield is a lovely woman. I know her well, but she's got to go. There's no...
She thought...
That's the law. I don't know.
How did it read to you these days?
I've seen it a million times.
You can't.
I know
it's
all
so
the jokes.
Good. Yeah.
She thought Clark Griswold was a creep.
Because
of the mall scene, and then also when he's imagining his pool and the lady in his pool out there, she thought he was a little bit...
So here's the thing. I always have this debate with my wife. Love Actually, is that a Christmas movie?
Yes.
No, it's a terrible Christmas movie.
I've never even heard of it.
I suppose. But I, the fact that we're even saying that, I don't classify it as a holiday movie.
Would you call Koopa Claus a Christmas episode?
I mean, absolutely. Look at that.
Santa's in it, but then Bowser's also in it, dressed as Santa.
That's weird.
And what are his reindeer? What are Koopa Claus's reindeer?
Oh,
look on the front.
They're the vultures from Super Mario Brothers 2. That's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
They're like, or albatross. Albatoss is what they're called.
Yeah.
Albatoss, right. And they drop ba-bombs.
Look at how frightening he looks. Turn it sideways. Look at how frightening he looks there.
There's also a shot of Mario in the back, and he doesn't have a mouth.
So, yeah, the description of this episode is, when the evil Koopa Claus, Ba-Hum-Koop, tries to stop Christmas, the Marios come to Santa's rescue, and Toad learns the true spirit of giving. So they don't teach Bowser a lesson. No.
It's Toad.
No. Toad is the one who's been screwing up. He gets the total blame. Total blame.
Yep.
Check out this shot of Toad. Let's get this in tight here. He looks really sad.
They can't see anything.
Yeah, there's no...
There's no way you can see anything.
He's a sad little bastard.
Just look up...
He doesn't even know what Christmas means until these idiot plumbers teach him about it.
Yeah. Justin.
Yep.
David from Tonga wants your opinion on something.
Oh, boy.
Where is Tonga?
In the ocean.
Yeah, Pacific Island, right?
He says, hello, Omega Cops. Season's greetings. I'm curious to know Justin's view of the side content offered in 2018's AAA games.
Why me? I mean, I'm honored.
He singled you out. He says, Red Dead tried to dissolve its side quests in its main narrative. Spider-Man went in a totally different direction by having the game be mostly collectibles, while Assassin's Creed made its side quest compulsory to proceeding with the main story.
Yeah.
Even Octopath took its own approach by doing away with the main narrative and making a game of side quests.
Mm-hmm.
God of War stood out by being more
more orthodox in this respect. Given how important it is that big titles pad themselves out with content to maintain sales and keep customers engaged, does the panel predict a general shift in the method or form of side content in single-player games? So I don't really know what he's asking. Can you decode it?
No. I don't know why I'm being singled out to answer this question.
Was it about originally?
All these games.
No, like, I've talked before about how side content, I don't do a lot of side content in games because it's never as good as the main content in the game. And that, like, makes sense, right? Like, if you're a game developer, you have this much time and effort and, you know, your team is this big to make a game, you're going to focus the majority of your effort and attention. Like, the main quest line in any video game is always going to be more compelling and better acted and have bigger set pieces and bigger bosses.
Well, that's the intention.
Side content.
That can fall short, right? And then the side stuff is really good. Like, I'd say Mass Effect games are a good example of that. Everything I do around Mass Effect is great. I don't care about the invading whatever squid things.
I like the trend this year of, it does feel blended up. Like, and like Red Dead's the poster child from that. Like, is it a main mission? Is it a side mission? It's just all part of this cowboy experience. And don't worry so much about main or side or whatever. Just, play the game.
And the game tricks you because you'll, like, go to, like, see, you think it's going to be a main quest or a character you're going to do a quest with. And then somebody else comes in and is like, quiet. Yeah. We need to go do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really weird.
Yeah. Or, like, even there's a mission where it's one mission. But you go fishing and then you rob a train.
Yeah.
And like, so even the way that the missions are designed, like they're building in side stuff into, you know, and story stuff into the main mission. Assassin's Creed, I actually enjoy that game more than Red Dead, but it's not nearly as sophisticated at, like, you know, blending up or thoughtful and, like, you know, its content.
Yeah, the side quests in that game are like, go get 3 pieces of coal and bring it back.
But I do what I love about Assassin's Creed is, like, I have an hour before I need to go to bed. I'm like, I'm going to sail to an island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I met someone and had sex with them. I, you know, climbed a mountain and, you know, synced a point of interest. You know, I went on, like, a whole little mini Greek odyssey.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. I really like that.
And then, you know, and then I leveled up and I conquered that island and now it belongs to my nation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now the the partner of mine is now on my boat.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, all of it just interweaves together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one thing I don't like about certain side missions in Assassin's Creed Odyssey is that very often it'll just be a person who's like, I put on a play and one of my actors was bad in the play. I want you to go kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to go kill them for that. That's not a reason to go kill them. And then it's quest failed.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What?
Had to do it.
I'm not a monster. Why are you punishing me for that?
Yeah. That sounds like the game's randomly generated quests are like pretty bad.
Yeah.
Actually, they're actually very
That's
bad.
The one thing in the books.
So, yeah, and even God of War, he described as being a little bit more conventional, but I think the side content in that game was really deeply well integrated into the main quest as well.
Did you do all the Valkyries? Did you guys beat all the Valkyries in God of War?
No, I didn't.
Dude, so,
That game is so excellent.
It's really good. I beat the game before I beat any of the Valkyries, because at first it takes you a long time to actually learn.
I thought you had to beat a single one.
No, I don't think you do.
Because I definitely did one fight. I guess it was just like the one that presents.
Yeah, you can skip them all, and so that's what I did. Not intentionally, actually, because I didn't even realize it. But at the end, when you have your power and you're leveled up, it's much easier. And at that point in time, you kind of understand how the combat works. But the Valkyries are amazing. I'm at the final Valkyrie, and the feeling that you have of accomplishment for doing that, it's very old school in the sense that, well, what was the game you were playing, Damon, where I walked in?
Darksiders 3.
And it is kind of like that, where at first you're not sure how to do it, but you're like, okay, it's kind of showing me and it's explaining it. And it's my fault if I mess it up, but it is one of those try again until you do it. And it can be very punishing in that
way. The way that the side content in that game is like breadcrumb to you, like, you don't ever have to fight any of the Valkyries, but I think the main quest takes you, like, you have
through
to
an
find,
area,
like,
yeah,
oh, there's a thing here, and then you get the quest. Yes. Like, there's 12 of these, and then in the course of fighting those Valkyries, then you'll find a dragon, and like you stumble on this stuff, and it makes you feel like you've stumbled on some crazy big thing. But the game's absolutely designed for you to, you know, like, you know, take you past this, like. Like, it's designed to, like, pull you off of that main path in a really clever way.
And the portals are there, so when you kind of realize, hey, I'm either powered up or I can do this or come back to it, it's letting you, hey, there's this thing that you can do, maybe not now, you can come back to it after.
What a video.
It's really well done. Yeah, it's really well done.
That's one of my biggest complaints about that game, is that it doesn't tell you, it doesn't make it obvious. And now we have game help, and all of our everybody we know play the game, and we can talk about it like that.
Yeah.
But like when you play it without any of that, it's like, well, I don't know if I should go explore right now because I don't have the thing. I don't know if I have the thing to explore with. What? And you can go. I went way off course in this game because I like exploring in games, and it totally breaks it. You can't. You'll go to an area, and it's like, okay, well, I got really far down this line with really hard enemies, but I don't have the key to get in the door here. Like, I hate that. I mean, I think that's really stupid.
Interesting. See, I actually didn't mind it because I felt that at least once you got to an area, they gave you that ability to teleport back and at least get to it. So you weren't usually, you'd find the area once, you revealed it in
the
map.
Yeah, and that's like the Metroid-like idea. I just don't think this game is designed as good as a Metroid game.
Interesting, okay.
Because it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a combat game that's telling a story. If it wants to be a Metroid game, then it can fully shift and do all that. But it doesn't do it that way.
Hmm. What do you think of Breath of the Wild?
I'm not allowed to talk about that on this.
I know. I appreciate that.
All right, it's time for the Dammy Awards.
Woo!
The moment everyone has been waiting for.
Yes. There we go. We're
gonna kick things off. The first award is going to be for Best Movie I Saw.
Got it.
Oh.
Here to present the nominees for Best Movie I Saw is Justin Davis.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Mm, so I just, this is just.
Those are the nominees?
It's just taped here to the front of the envelope. Best Movie I Saw is the name of the award, is Solo, A Star Wars Story, Avengers Infinity War, A Quiet Place, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, and Deadpool 2.
Wow. Do you guys have like
Actually, I liked a lot of those movies.
You guys have like a bingo going? Or are you trying to
play
a ranking game?
Based off what I know about Damon, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that you gave it to Solo.
I think it was a weird year and he might have given it to Infinity War.
I think so, too. And Into the Spider-Verse, just saw that. That's very good.
To be fair, I haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh,
you gave it to either Solo or Deadpool is what I'm going to say.
I'm saying Infinity War.
The more I think about it, the more I like Deadpool, too. I really like
Deadpool 2 is great, yeah.
Oh, wow. Avengers Infinity War.
What an upset.
Damon says is the best movie I saw. I'm really surprised by that.
Are you? Yeah. I thought it was like so well done, so well put together. The action was great. It was really funny. And then I love like Thanos, who I thought looked really stupid in the trailers, turned out to be a super interesting character. I love that it had this like downer, bummer, sad ending.
Yeah. That was like a case just like Deadpool for me where I had low expectations. I know that sounds crazy for like the biggest movie that we cover.
Yeah.
But like I didn't really like the other Avengers movies, but I like the characters like Thor and Spider-Man and stuff like that in their own movies. Yeah.
They finally got Thor right, like just let him be goofy and funny. And like,
how many times have you seen it?
Well, I own the Blu-ray now, so I've seen it a few times.
Yeah,
so
three or four times. Did you like it the second and third viewing?
Yeah,
me too. I found that when I watched it again and again, I appreciated it more. The first time you're in the theater, the ending does really trip you up, and so without getting into details, I had little kids with me, and I was like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know.
Were your kids like sad at the end? Like,
very. Cried. Because, the moment they're like, he can't, it's him. And that's I don't know what to tell you. I'm just as confused as you are.
At least you didn't have a sex scene to explain.
That's true.
They probably saved that for Endgame.
I'm a huge fan of the MCU. I rewatched all of them in the run up to Infinity War. So, and that's a lot. It's like 18 movies now. I thought Infinity War was like pretty cacophonous. Like it doesn't really give you a chance to breathe. It's a little too wall to wall and loud and noisy.
That might help with reviewing then, right? Like watching it again, maybe it clears it up a little bit.
It's nice to have on like it's just the spectacle of it. Like there's never been a movie that looks and feels bigger, but I didn't think it quite worked as like a story.
No nomination for Ant-Man.
Ooh. Well, it is just half of a story, I guess.
That's right.
Ant-Man is like, it's fine, but like the stakes are so high in Infinity War, it's hard to like watch a smaller movie after that knowing like what's...
And to be fair, you didn't see Venom.
I did not see Venom.
I didn't
either.
So
that might be your movie.
And I'm going to see Into the Spider-Verse on Christmas Day.
Yeah. So good.
That'll be great.
I hear nothing really good about that. The next award is for Best Pixel Art I Looked At this year. Here to present the award for Best Pixel Art I Looked At is Sam Claiborne.
Boom.
All right, so the nominees are Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon.
That was a good one.
That was my Bloodstained look. You can go to YouTube to check that out. Into the Breach, which is the game about bugs and robots.
Yeah.
And then Dead Cells, which is a game that's kind of like a Castlevania game.
Those are all good pixel art.
Those are.
Yeah. It's really good. But which one was the best, man?
Yeah,
I'm going to say Dead Cells.
I think the award is going to go to Bloodstained.
Okay. Mm. I got Dead Cells.
I thought Dead Cells was ugly, even though it had good gameplay.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Ugly game.
Yeah, wow.
Well,
I don't like the main character. It just looked like too stupid.
Here it comes. Am I two for
just
two?
Too stupid.
And the award goes to Bloodstained Curse of the Moon.
No, for those listening at home. Oh, no, we have a La La Land situation.
Exactly.
How embarrassing.
We knew it was going to happen.
This is not
the
a joke.
Paper says Dead Cells.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Not a joke.
Come on down.
Dead Cells has won.
Okay.
I mean, I'm two for two. Dead Cells, yeah. Good looking game.
I think Dead Cells has the best pixel art of those
what?
Games, yeah.
Messenger. I was maybe expecting to see Messenger as well.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good.
Well, let's put this back in here. Somebody get a pen.
Back in well, it wouldn't have won, but Messenger probably could have been nominated.
Sam does not agree with the winner.
What,
so that's
Bloodstained
how he...
Bloodstained is a very, very beautiful game.
Let's rewind time
but
here, Thanos.
Dead Cells like, has a really sharp... Because they do some extra like effects in there. I think
yeah, they do.
Bloodstained, they tried to make it really look like an NES game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's even some like flickering and stuff. But Dead Cells is a pixel art game that couldn't have been done on NES or Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I agree.
There was also honorable mention Owlboy.
Yeah.
Which came to Switch and PS4 this year, but that was released on PC in 2016, yeah. So it's a couple years old.
Gotcha.
The next award is for the best old game I discovered this year.
Ooh.
Here to present the nominees for the best old game I discovered this year is CJ Gibson.
The old guy. Here we go. All right, Sam, should I just...
Nominees.
Okay, yeah, guess.
You have to read the nominees.
Okay, I will. Sorry, I was going to open
Wait,
up
you're going to let us guess without
No,
nominees.
Okay, all right. Best old game.
Best old game that Ikari Warriors.
Money, Puzzle Exchanger.
Wait, start over?
Money, Puzzle Exchanger.
Yeah. Everybody got that.
Lightning Force.
Oh my God.
Night Slashers.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Blaze. And Zupapa.
Well,
Zupapa. What are you doing?
Yeah. What do you mean, what am I doing?
All right. This bears no meaning to anybody except for people that sit next to Damon in the office.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm telling you.
These are very Damey gamies.
And the winner is?
Beard Papa.
No.
Money Puzzle Exchanger.
Money Puzzle
Exchanger.
Wow.
Money Puzzle Exchanger.
Again.
The best old
checking
game.
Year in a row.
I discovered you. No. I discovered that.
That was the one. That was the SNK puzzle game, right? The
They're all SNK games.
Not all of them. One of them Psycho.
Nice. Do what you must, Sam.
It's like Magical Drop, but you're using Japanese coins, matching Japanese coins. Yeah. And if you get enough combos, you send junk to the other person's side of the screen.
Yeah, we know how puzzle games work.
No, let me tell you, Justin. You have to match three.
Got it. This is what one of my all-time favorite burns on a podcast was like, oh, you start out leveling up, you know, really fast, but then the farther you get in your game, it takes longer and longer to level up. And it was like, yeah, I've played a video game before. You can skip that part. We all know that's how they work.
All right, this is kind of the big one. This is best game I played this year.
Ooh.
Wow.
Here to present.
Didn't we just go over that?
Here to present. No, that was best old game.
No, I mean throughout the episode.
The beginning and in the way.
What do you mean? Well, anyway, okay. This is the best game I played this year. Here to present the nominees is Justin Davis.
Oh, boy. Okay. The nominees for best game I played this year are...
God of War. Oh, sorry.
Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Red Dead Redemption 2, Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Wow, you really like that one.
Yeah.
Into the Breach, God of War, and Far Cry 5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Far Cry 5, that's right.
You met early ago,
you just pretend to be surprised by remembering Far Cry 5? and the best game I played this year is...
God of War, what I'm guessing.
It's God of War.
I'm three for three.
You went with God of War.
Yeah.
It was God of War all along.
Nice that was the best game I played this year.
You switched the font on this one.
Oh, they're all different.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree.
Some of them are from movies.
What did you like best about God of War? What was the thing that did it for you with that game?
I just love like the setting. I love the fantasy setting with the world serpent. Like as you're traveling around that space, the world serpent sort of like serpent. Always
so cool.
there.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, is that the Godzilla font?
That was Friday the 13th.
Cool.
Nice.
One of them was Commando. I forget which one. The final award is the game. This one's just boring. I got bored with this one.
Okay.
this game announced in 2018 that I'm most excited for.
Mm-hmm.
Here to present the nominees is Sam Claiborne.
All right.
Had to be announced this year.
So we got Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. We know Damon doesn't like that game.
That's not true.
that was my pick.
We have Far Cry, New Dawn. It's just more of the same. He wouldn't like that. Resident Evil 2, amazing game. It just has to go to that. Desperados 3. Is that a movie?
This one surprised me. It was announced at Gamescom, and I'm playing a game on PS4 now called Shadow Tactics, turn-based ninja game, top-down view, and this is that with cowboys.
Mm.
Like it. And then Rage 2 is the final one.
Ooh.
Which,
what game are you most excited about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess it's the Far Cry semi-standalone deal.
I'm going to say Sekiro, though I know it's not it. But that's what I'm going to say.
Sam is hoping it's his game.
Animal Crossing.
Surprise.
Look at that.
And he chose Resident Evil 2.
It is Resident Evil 2. There you go. Which I felt a little bad picking a game that's a remake, but whatever.
Did you know that Damon's not an Animal Crossing guy?
Yeah, I've never
not a big... Yeah, man. I'm not either.
It's got cats in it.
Yeah, I think I need more of a goal than Animal Crossing.
You have debts. You have debts you have to pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. How much do you like escapism?
Yeah, those bugs aren't going to catch themselves, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not for me.
Or Resident Evil 2 is right around the corner. I
know. Yeah. It's like a month away.
It's going to be a rough year after that, buddy.
Like, I know it's a remake in the sense of, like, it's Resident Evil 2. They're remaking it. But it's, like, so different and new that I don't even think it hardly even counts as a remake.
Yeah,
like, it's basically a reinterpretation of this, you know, 20-year-old thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Justin, we forgot the Justin Davis Best Game Where You Wear a Hat Award.
Oh.
Mm.
Did you pick a winner?
Well, I want to just float to the group the same thing I was trying to. Does a mask count as a hat?
He wants to know if Spider-Man counts.
Okay, I mean, last time we debated, we were talking about Mega Man, and that's what threw me off. So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if masks count as hats.
So no Spider-Man.
Take off that hat, Spider-Man.
But like, what if he pulls it up on top of his head? Then is it a hat?
Oh man.
Well, I mean, if you put a sock on your head, is it a
chance?
Hat?
This could be your chance to give it to Smash Brothers.
Wait, there's a lot of hats in that game.
You can wear a hat.
And then you can buy hats in that game.
Yeah.
You earn coins by smashing people. Yeah. And you spend those coins on hats for your Mii.
Because you're not going to give it to Red Dead.
Yeah, I'll give it to Smash Brothers. There's lots of neat hats in that game. DDD has got a good hat.
Okay. All right, good.
Captain Falcon's
a crown.
I don't think it is. It's a little like Santa.
King DDD is not wearing a crown.
No, I don't think so. King K. Rool has a crown.
Let's lead with that question in 20 questions.
All right.
Oh.
Now it's time for a holiday buyer's guide.
Nice.
Video game buyer's guide from 1997.
I love it.
So sweet.
Wait. It's not just an issue. It's a buyer's guide?
The buyer's guide is part of this.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
It's like an insert.
Diddy Kong Racing was on the cover. They review that in this issue.
Dude, so this is my era of EGM, you know, mid-90s, issue 101. Like, that's right in the
December 97.
Like, the formative years for Justin. And the very first time my name was ever in print was in a EGM Holiday Buyer's Guide.
Awesome.
Not this year. I was way too young. But like,
for it? Ziff Davis, what?
You wrote
that
for it?
That's crazy. Wow. That's really cool.
That was that was the very first. My name has been in two magazines. I was in GamePro once and I was in EGM once.
That's awesome.
Well, before we get to the Buyer's Guide, there's a controversy in the news section in the front. Scenes from Resident Evil Director's Cut get left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I remember this. It was a director's cut that was censored.
Yeah, they cut everything out. So here's what happened. Usually when a director's cut of a movie is released, it includes scenes not in the original edit of the film. That concept was the main idea of Resident Evil Director's Cut, Capcom's remix of their macabre mega hit.
They botched it so bad.
However, instead of releasing an uncut and unedited version of the game, Capcom ended up releasing one that was missing the gory scenes that were nixed from the original US release of Resident Evil, even though it was intended to have them. This has infuriated Resident Evil fans.
Oh, wait. So the intention was one thing, but they printed the wrong game or
something? They explain. Okay. Capcom Japan did the game's translation and submitted it to SCEA themselves instead of Capcom USA. The game was intended all along to have the extra gory scenes from the intro and other cinematics. Sony at first rejected the game because one line of copyright text for the Japanese version of the game, it was sent back to Capcom Japan to be fixed. Instead of merely removing the copyright line, Capcom Japan decided to just swap the cinematics from the original US release of Resident Evil into the director's cut and resubmit the game to Sony Computer Entertainment America for approval. As one could imagine, the game was approved and sent off to be manufactured without Capcom USA realizing that anything had gone wrong. By the time the company realized the game had been cut, CDs had been made and the game was ready to go.
The game's thanks, Sony.
The game's packaging lists the game as having the complete uncut and uncensored Resident Evil cinemas.
I remember that.
But then they didn't fix that?
No.
I mean, well, after they printed
the game, shipped.
It's 1997. There was no patches.
There's no mail.
That's right.
There's no patches. Well,
I mean, that would have been a huge financial loss. All those.
The original Resident Evil, I think, came out on PlayStation like four times.
Accurate.
Because they released a separate DualShock version.
So 3 days after the game's release, Capcom USA posted the complete uncut intro to their website for people to download and view.
Wow.
Just the intro.
Yeah. they were hoping for day one patches way back then.
At press time, Capcom said they have no plans to recall the game or offer a replacement disc.
but they could have. That's really silly. Wow. Well, so is there a version that was Resident Evil 1?
Yeah.
So is there a version of Resident Evil 1 that has all that junk in it?
Yeah,
now?
They eventually released a... I was saying a second ago, I think there's like four versions of that game on the PS1, and I think they came out with a DualShock version when the DualShock controller came out, and I think that had the uncut cutscenes.
And one would imagine like the GameCube version is more like the director's cut.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a remake, so I don't know CG situation is on that.
So it's always weird hearing these stories. I wonder how that happened. I wonder if there was like some new guy...
You just explained
that. Well, I know, but like I know that.
No.
What I'm saying is, like, I wonder who kind of like was the person who was like, "Ah, let's just do this," and then, like, "Oh, whoopsie daisy!" Guess that like altered.
It's just like it's the very tail end of Japan, kind of like not understanding, the U.S. game scene, and
I feel like,
Sam, you like this story. Whatever happened to Color Dreams?
Wow.
There's an article on Color Dreams.
Tucson-based company that became Wisdom Tree.
EGM takes a look back at a renegade Nintendo 8-bit publisher.
That's awesome. That's cool they did that story.
I won't go into the whole story yet, but these are the guys that did like...
Bible Adventures.
Menace Beach.
Spiritual Warfare.
They were unlicensed, right?
Oh, but you were talking about before when they were Color Dreams.
Yeah.
They were making like pirate... They were making NES games without paying the fee that they're supposed to pay to Nintendo, I think.
Mm-hmm. They're all blue. There's a comic book game. It's an interesting company.
Comic book game?
Yeah, but then they went to full religious-based games.
Yeah.
Here's an ad for Croc, the game Croc.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good joke. Cool. It's a joke. The ad is a joke. So,
I see Laura.
There's shadows of Lara Croft, Mario, and Crash.
Crash, yeah.
It says, how did Croc find his competition?
And then on...
Delicious!
Whoa. Oh.
He ate him. Is the joke.
Here's Lara's guns. Mario's hat with an N on it. Can you see this? And Crash Bandicoot's shoes.
Okay.
Done.
No trademark dispute there.
No.
No.
It's clearly an N.
It's clearly an N.
All right, we'll get to the buyer's guide now here.
Oh, you just blew past a Jerky Boys 4 ad.
There's an ad for Jerky Boys 4. Yeah, it's pretty good. The buyer's guide starts with Nintendo 64. They list system strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So in 97, it had been out for a year and a half about that, right? And Ocarina of Time was not out yet.
No.
That's right.
So system strength. Strengths, powerful hardware, a library that includes some of the best games available. Weaknesses, not enough games. Third-party titles are often mediocre and too expensive. Some games are too foggy and blurry.
Yep.
No, that's a funny description.
Yeah. The N64 had a different take on 3D, right? It just tried to blur everything.
It says, you need the system if you're into action games, multiplayer titles, driving games, and updated Super NES classics.
So everything they just mentioned there is just categorizing the only other game that was out, which was Mario Kart, besides Mario Kart.
Yeah,
Cruising
that
USA.
Applies to everything.
That's
there.
Right.
Avoid this system if you're into RPGs and fighting games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just stayed that way. There was a Mortal Kombat trilogy on N64.
Yeah, that I had it later.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
The action game they recommend is GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Definitely.
Then they recommend the bulky drive for the Nintendo 64.
Excuse me?
Which would become the 64 DD.
It never wasn't even out. How
it
are they
never be released
it?
Here.
They recommend it?
It said this add-on is still a long way off, but it's definitely the next big thing for the Nintendo 64.
Of course.
Due to hit Japan in March and late summer and fall in the US, we expect the Nintendo disk drive not to cost any more than the system itself.
Jeez.
The first disk games include Earthbound 64, Mario Mario Artist, and a version of SimCity.
We hooked up.
We played that.
That here, and we played SimCity and Mario Artist. Parrot.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, we hooked up in that little black television.
That was one of my favorite.
And SimCity, you zoom into street level, and the people are there. It's like it's an amazing.
You can build a city and then walk around the city streets from a first person perspective.
Which I know you can do in like every sim now, but it wasn't like that.
That was a big deal. Yeah, yeah. That was one of my most fun. Like I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was Nintendo's 125th anniversary, and so we did all these Let's Plays of old Nintendo games, and it was one of my favorite projects I've worked on, and it's the only time I've ever messed with the 64 DD, seen it hooked up and seen it running. It's really fascinating. It's really
neat. That's cool.
And the paint game is really boring, but it is a paint game with Mario.
Mario Artist.
It's like a sequel to Mario Paint.
Mario Paint. Nice.
Yeah, it's weird.
What puzzle game do you think they recommend for Nintendo 64?
Dr. Mario 64.
I don't think that was out yet.
Oh, okay.
They recommend Tetrisphere.
Love it.
Tetrisphere is great.
Nice.
I played the crap out of that game.
For fighting game, they recommend Killer Instinct Gold.
Fool.
I had that
good
too.
Game. Good game. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I think I feel like Killer Instinct Gold. I think my grandma bought it for like $85. It was on cart, and N64 games were like meaningfully more expensive than PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. EGM makes a big deal about that in these issues always.
For sports game, International Superstar Soccer 64, and for shooter, Star Fox 64.
Shooter,
not GoldenEye.
Yeah, that seems weird.
It's actually
Okay. Whatever.
Oh yeah.
Justin, here's an ad for Colony Wars.
Colony Wars is dope.
Yeah.
Killer
for racing game, they recommend Diddy Kong Racing.
Naturally.
Besides Mario Kart 64, other must-buy racers include Nintendo's Wave Race 64.
Oh, so good.
Wipeout-like Extreme G.
The library is pretty good by that time.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's funny, in my head, the N64, I love that console of death, but it kind of had no games, right? It got, a couple of good games a year. But now that we're, 20 years past it, it's like, you only really remember, the top 20 games on any console anyway. When you're living it, it's like, there's not enough games, I want more games. But then in hindsight, it's like, well, give me GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Here's their look ahead for Nintendo 64. It's a given you'll grab Zelda 64 when it hits in the spring.
Yeah.
And Yoshi's Story in February. But don't forget about F-Zero 64, also due in the spring. This update to the Super NES Classic lets you race on nearly 20 courses against 40 opponents.
And F-Zero X is so good. That game ran at 60 FPS back then in the 90s. It was fast as hell.
On a cartridge. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Third-party N64 developers are kicking into high gear, too. Konami will release Mystical Ninja 64 and Castlevania 3D.
Ooh.
And rumor has it they're also working on a Nintendo 64 Metal Gear game. Expect to see a Tomb Raider title from Eidos next year. That would never happen.
No, neither did
me. As well as Turok and Quake from Midway.
What was the N64? Metal Gear didn't happen, but I guess was Silicon Knights.
But this is even before Metal Gear Solid, so I don't know what they thought was happening.
Maybe they thought it was Metal Gear Solid.
No Perfect Dark mention in there?
Then there are the DD games, among them Earthbound 64, the first RPG for the system. And it has been rumored that Super Mario 64 2 will be ready for the DD.
So are they just peppering in
whatever?
Here's three true things and three things we just made up.
Super Mario 64 2 is one game Nintendo won't release until they're good and ready. Mm-hmm. Still waiting.
Still waiting on that one. Man, it's cool that they expected a Metal Gear game for Nintendo 64 before Metal Gear Solid came
out. Did Konami make, Killswitch them? Maybe they got word of some other, shootery, espionage-y game, and they just got their wires crossed. It's hard to say.
For the gamer who has everything, they recommend the gold Nintendo 64 controller.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
We have it here.
So that'll bring us to PlayStation. Let's see. The PlayStation at a glance. Strengths. A huge library of games with recent ones that are looking and playing better than ever. Weaknesses. The system does 3D graphics like nobody's business, although it's not quite the champ of 2D. Interesting.
That is interesting.
That's true.
No load time.
Remember how mad they were about Castlevania looking retro? No, that was IGN that was mad about it.
That was IGN, yeah. You need the system if you're into a good variety of games from practically every genre. Avoid this system if you're into 2D games.
What is going on with this?
All right.
Symphony of the Night was out, right?
Yeah.
That's the game. That's the action game they recommend, Symphony of the Night.
They're not wrong, though. Symphony of the Night, Sony did not want 2D games on their console.
Yeah.
For fighting game, they recommend Tekken 2, RPG Final Fantasy 7.
Really good.
Then in hardware, they recommend this thing called the ASCII Grip, which looks crazy.
It's the one-handed controller,
Yeah, it's
the
one-handed
right?
controller. Mm. There's an ad for it here, which may explain why they're recommending.
PlayStation is really good for a lot of sports games as well, too.
Try it close up here. This is the ASCII Grip.
Whoa.
And it's meant to allow you to play complicated stuff like RPGs with one hand.
Okay. What do you do with your other hand?
Somehow.
Yeah, well. Oh. This ad tells you what you can do with your other hand. This controller is meant for lefties, righties, nose pickers, shark attack survivors, folks with poison oak, avid porn fans, pissed off New York taxi cab drivers, a certain mid-80s hard rock drummer, that clumsy kid in shop class, people who gave their right arm for something, and Sabrina Whitehead, who wrote down absolutely everything Mrs. Dinkelmeyer said in History 101. So her arm fell off because it was tired?
That's some ad copy right there.
Gosh, I think it's just because she's writing down everything.
She's a note taker. So
they're just straight
What's that
up
Sega thing?
Man, Def Leppard getting a shout-out.
For a basketball game, and these people are getting stretched out, Sam. They're getting
Wow, they're so stretchy.
Yeah.
What is the heart? What is that? What is this?
It's frightening. What an insensitive ad.
Hard
Holy
stuff.
Cow.
Sega.com.
It says hard stuff postcard.
Justin, you're an avid porn fan.
Yeah, who isn't?
Now I've lost.
That's the controller for me.
All right. Anyway, that's
Oh, man.
What's up with all the silly people over the section?
They're doing some silly stuff in this issue.
Yeah.
All right. That's called the ASCII grip.
It looks so cool to see all
those
games.
They also recommend the Sony analog pad. Why are they calling it that and not the DualShock?
Was it not called the DualShock yet?
I thought it was.
Is that something different?
Sony's analog pad has been long waited, and the wait has been worth it.
Hey, are you guys going to use the Sears coupon I see here?
Yeah. $10 off.
Because I call it.
It's all $10 right. off Crash Bandicoot 2 at Sears, Funtronics.
I want to do a project where we just
makes all the difference.
Can pre-order, Sam.
Can we do $10 in 1997? That's like $3,000.
Can we just do a project where we like mail in every single thing you can mail in from like an issue of EGM and just see who gets back to us and who like...
Half the stores are probably closed.
Yeah, for sure.
They also recommend this hardware, the Lunar Gun with Red Sight. It says, have you actually ever wanted to burn a hole through your TV?
No, what?
Not at all.
This laser scope and light gun combination isn't that powerful, but it does make for some straight shooting. Why would you need a
light gun game
on your TV?
But then you know if you're aiming straight.
Can you even see it on your TV? Or like
it's like the laser appears in your television also?
Like in 97,
you'd be using a laser
you'd be using a CRT television. Mm-hmm. Like you're not even gonna. It's gonna like it's reflect off that somewhere, right?
Did Sony have
eyeball?
Yeah. Did Sony have like a super scope the way that Super Nintendo did?
If they did,
like
it wasn't popular.
I had a third party one. I had it for Time Crisis.
Did you? Yeah. Super scope was awesome.
Like a shoulder mounted one?
No, sorry, just like a light gun.
Yeah, Sony definitely had light guns for what's the Lethal Enforcers and all that stuff. Like came home on Sony systems and they had guns for them.
Zapper is still the gun.
Zapper's pretty cool. I've got a gun for a PlayChoice system, which is a different version of the Zapper for the upright Nintendo cabinet, and it's so cool.
What is the color of choice? Orange or gray?
I like gray.
You like gray? Okay.
But the PlayChoice, I think it's blue and orange.
Captain N had the orange one though, so I mean. Yeah.
For the gamer who has everything, they recommend the Glove, which is an amazing piece of hardware. Basically, a power glove for the PlayStation. We were looking at a tutorial video.
Oh, I think yesterday. I've seen that.
Whoa. Ooh. Bring that back, Dan. Whoa. Give me that close up.
One more close up.
Dan asleep. There you go. The Glove.
Boom.
Another one-handed controller.
You slip it on your hand. It's motion controls.
Yeah.
Wow, that early.
But to move your character, you're supposed to do this with your hand.
That can't possibly
work. No. There's no way.
How many of those were sold and kids are just mad and disappointed?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, I think we had a different take on it, which was actually clarified in the video. I thought it would be for differently abled people or for accessibility or something, and it's actually a smart idea. There was controllers back then, like the NES had one, which you can control with breathing through straws, right? So I thought that was like a pretty interesting take. But then the video was all about like how cool you'd look, and like they showed a bunch of people pretending to play it around a TV and stuff.
The Power Glove marketing was amazing.
Like the ad for that Sony controller is just straight up making fun of amputees.
We got Wikipedia pulled up here with the dual analog controller.
I guess that's what they called it first. When did they call it the Dual Shock?
I guess that came later. Oh, you know what? It probably when the PS2 added Rumble, right? That's probably when they changed the name.
Oh, the Shock. That's the Shock.
Yeah. There was no Rumble in the
PS1. Okay.
Yep,
that makes sense.
No Rumble in the PS1.
It's a lot of iterations of a controller.
Yeah.
All right. So for the look ahead for PlayStation, if you're looking for a system that will undoubtedly be sticking around for the long haul, this is the one to put on your holiday wish list.
All right.
The games are usually no more than $50. The graphics in a lot of the titles are looking incredible, even better than some games on the N64. That's interesting that was supposed to be the more graphically impressive system. I don't remember it that way.
That doesn't make sense at all.
And the lineup for the coming months only seems to be getting better and better. As you probably know, we cannot wait for Konami's Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. So they were already aware of Metal Gear Solid. Weird, man.
And then there's the buyer's guide for the Sega Saturn.
Rip.
One more year.
It says Sega's system isn't quite the cool gift it used to be. Mm. System strengths, reliable CD-based hardware.
It's good that it's reliable.
spins
at the right speed. No matter what.
A great standard and analog controller. A small but fanatical following, Sega as a first-party developer.
Yeah.
System's weaknesses, not much third-party support. Difficult machine to program for, thus often getting second-rate ports rather than original material. No more working designs games in the far future.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're right.
You need this system if you're into Sega arcade hits, RPGs, 2D fighters, and Virtua Fighter type 3D fighters.
That's the one.
Avoid this system if you're into a lot of games in the future.
Ouch. Whoa. Or Sega, man. Just man, always just a little late to the game. And then it just.
If you had a Saturn and access to a dollar bin at the local Babbage's at that time, you could have picked up some cool games.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Justin, the strategy game they recommend is Dragon Force.
Dude, I want to play Dragon Force so bad.
Yeah. The RPG they recommend is Albert Odyssey.
I don't think
I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, me either.
I think it was like a Zelda clone.
A look ahead for the Saturn. The Saturn is an awesome console with awesome software, no doubt, but unfortunately, you won't find a flood of new games coming out in 1998. If you're looking for a solid, reliable system, then by all means, get one. The library is already full of great games. Can't go wrong. The few games that are coming out for the Saturn are plenty exciting. Sega's Enemy Zero is a graphical horror adventure game that looks like it could put Resident Evil or D to shame. Sega R is Sega's answer to Mario Kart. How could you go wrong with a racing game made up of the cast of Sonic?
Well,
you just spot
also
them.
Keep an eye out for other big titles like Panzer Dragoon Saga, Dead or Alive, and a great-looking translation of Quake. Sega's future might be up in the air right now, but one thing's for certain, the quality of games are still trickling
in. Did that Sonic Kart Racer come out?
Sonic R came out, yeah.
For Saturn?
It was. I thought it was an on-foot racer.
No mention of...
That's so silly.
No mention of... the Dreamcast or the Katana.
It was still a little, I mean, Dreamcast was until 99, so.
3 years away. So there was just a gap where there like, wasn't an active Sega console on the market, I guess.
And Dead or Alive, for did that come out for it or no? I mean, it came out for Xbox initially, didn't it?
And obviously, Panzer Dragoon Saga did, so.
Yeah.
We're in one of those gaps right now.
You're right.
Where there's no Sega system on the market.
But I think E3 2019 is the year we hear about the next Sega console.
Could be. Could be.
Pretty sure.
Lofty.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Ryan Turford.
What is that medallion?
We'll talk about that at the very end.
Really?
Ooh.
You didn't just miss the medallion?
That was a very thoughtful gift that was sent to
us. I don't see Mad Libs here this year.
Ryan Turford sends in our Video Game 20 Questions game.
Right, I'm ready.
Let the questioning begin.
Could this game have appeared in, 1996? This issue of EGM?
It was 1997.
It was 97.
97.
It could have. Probably unlikely, though.
Got it.
Okay. Mm.
It's an old game, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Did this game have, is this from before 1980? Or is it from 1990?
No.
Okay. So 90 to 97.
1997.
Why would it have been...
I always want to pick console. I always want to figure console. Did we talk about the console in this magazine?
Oh, that's a good question.
Did we talk about the console that this game is on?
Yes.
In this magazine? No.
Okay. That eliminates a lot of
good
this
one,
magazine.
Good one, CJ. Good
eliminates
one.
A lot.
I mean, this is probably a late NES game or just like a 16-bit game that they're unlikely to be discussing.
Yeah, because now, we got 90s without 3D.
Well, okay. You can ask if it's... Yeah, go ahead.
Handheld or whatever. Did this game first come out on a 16-bit console?
No.
Was this game a cartridge-based game?
Yes. That's 5.
Cartridge-based game.
Not 16-bit.
Not 16-bit.
So it's either late
64
NES.
64 NES or Game Boy. Do we do the handheld yet?
Well, it can't be 64 because we
did. Yeah, we talked 64. About that in the magazine.
So it's either handheld or NES.
Mm-hmm. Or Genesis or...
Yeah.
Well, can't be 16-bit. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I mean Master System or...
Yeah.
And TurboGrafx is 16, so it can't be that.
Huh.
Neo Geo, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Dude,
I wanted a Jaguar so bad when I was a
kid. Yeah, me too.
That
man.
Marketing worked
awesome.
On me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I'm like, it's more bits. Yeah. What, like,
that alien?
There's
game.
No argument.
So cool looking.
Tempest.
That eliminates a lot of systems. That I mean, I don't know how.
Was this on the NES?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, CJ.
Let's go. He went for it.
Is this a platformer?
Is this a platformer? No.
Does this game start? Does this game have Yoshi in it?
No.
Was this based on a license?
Yes.
All right. Let's do that before the Yoshi question.
All right. Why would,
no, because late NES games are those that fucking Yoshi.
No, I agree.
Those two Yoshi games.
We've got an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Talking about Yoshi.
Yeah. There's two Yoshi games and there's Wario Woods. They're like late 90s NES games.
I know. There's at least four. Game.
But it was licensed.
Licensed game.
Is this a license based on a movie?
Yes.
Okay, that was.
They always do these.
I know.
Okay, so there was a.
That was what I was going to ask. So.
So we got like Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
I think it's too early.
The Last Starfighter.
I I'm trying to think about licensed games. I played Back to the Future on the NES.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
I was going to say Home Alone. Gremlins really 2.
Guys, if we just mention every movie we can think of, then we can ask if we mentioned the game yet.
Oh. Is Gremlins 2 also Christmas, or is only Gremlins 1 Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas 1 is exactly what I was thinking of, Home Alone.
Yeah.
Gremlins 2, I don't know. But Gremlins is a Christmas game.
I think Gremlins 2 is as well.
Well, I don't even remember if there's a Gremlins. There's not even a Gremlins game. There's just Gremlins 2. Yeah. Anyway. We also have Back to the Future games. We got Ghostbusters games. Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Oh, right, right.
Is this game based on a good movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Have we mentioned the movie yet?
No.
Whoa, okay.
Oh, that's really good.
That eliminates a lot of
that eliminates
what we just
all
said.
That garbage.
Oh, but it was a good movie.
So there's some weird ones like
Batman,
there was Toxic Avengers, based on the Toxic Avengers, Toxic Crusaders, I think. Yeah, Batman. There you go.
Avengers.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because Batman, I feel like we had this on 20 Questions a few years ago, but Batman.
Platoon?
Batman 89, you know, the movie came out in 89, but the game didn't come out till after it was later.
Yeah. Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, Ninja Turtles.
That's kind of a cartoon more than a movie.
Well, but it's a movie, though.
Did this game have sequels?
Before
or after it?
No.
No.
Not Ninja Turtles.
Ooh, not Ninja Turtles, not Batman.
Could be Batman.
No, and Batman has a sequel.
Batman has a sequel, too.
Return of the Joker or something.
Okay, sorry, was that question, were you talking about whether the franchise movies had or the games?
Big movies from the time, or from way before.
Hold on. You didn't ask if the movie had sequels. You asked if the game had sequels.
The game has sequels, yeah.
The game does not have sequels.
Okay, well,
the game doesn't
have
sequels
either. You might need to rethink that, because Batman, the game, has sequels. But on NES.
He knows. That eyebrow says that he knows. Oh, man. But it was good.
No, the movie was good.
Well, I know, but I'm not saying the game is good, but that's what I'm trying to think of, like, good movie IPs that...
No, I'm thinking...
I didn't ever play, like, a Terminator game or Predator game. They probably existed.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Both those exist. Well, Terminator became a different game called Journey to Silius.
We don't know what type of game it was. We got platformer eliminated.
Wait, did he eliminate platformer?
He eliminated a platformer.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah, he did. That was the second question.
Does that mean it can't be Batman?
Yeah.
And a bunch of games.
Oh.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering, maybe the only thing I can think of is like an arcade shooter or something like...
Well, there's racing games like Days of Thunder.
That's what I was going to say.
Ooh, there is.
Why are you laughing?
He's got a pretty good poker face. So I'm trying to break him here.
Did we say the movie was good or the games was
good? The movies were good.
The movie was
sidebar.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you consider Days of Thunder a good movie?
I haven't seen Days of Thunder.
Okay, so it's not Days of Thunder.
It is not.
It's really weird to have a movie-based game without sequels. It's not a platformer. I mean, that's all
exactly.
Weird. But I think Damon wouldn't classify a shooter as that, so like a Rambo-style game.
A movie-licensed game that's not a platformer on the NES.
Right, because all those games, were platformers. I was even thinking
of Friday the 13th is like an RPG, horror game.
Last Action Hero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, should we ask if it's an animated movie? Like maybe something by Disney versus... we didn't mention any
There's
of those
not many
yet.
Of those. I don't mind that
There's
question.
There's not. Is it an animated movie?
Based on an animated
Is it based movie. On an animated movie?
No.
Rule all those out.
That's really good, CJ. I like that.
Oh, man.
See, I want to ask, does this have the best title screen ever? Because it probably does.
It's all it had.
Is this game about, you know, shooting guns?
Yes.
Okay, that helps a lot.
That's 15.
It does help a lot.
It's not a platformer.
Wow. I don't know. Like, I didn't play, you know, I'm outside of my depth on this.
Well, we already did that. Have we mentioned the game yet?
Yeah, but that was early on.
We could ask who the movie star, like, is it a Sylvester Stallone movie?
Yeah, that would be Die Hard.
That's
a Christmas game and a Christmas movie.
Was there a Die Hard game on NES?
Yes, there is.
There was.
There's a glass meter for your feet.
There was a dope-ass Die Hard arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
Die
but
trilogy.
Die Hard's about shooting, right?
I didn't play the game.
But I mean, think of all the games on there that are platformers.
Is this
I just can't think of any other...
Is this a game based off a movie that stars Bruce Willis?
Oh, he's smiling.
Yes.
There it is.
Nice. It can make sense because it's Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Does this game have a glass meter?
Yes.
Is it Die Hard on the NES?
It is Die Hard
nice.
On the NES.
There it is. Good Go work. With your gut. Good That's work, the theme. Nicely done,
it's a
Justin.
Top
the more I thought about it,
down.
What's going to be the Christmas
yeah.
time?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a top-down shooter
where you have to clear each level of the skyscraper, the terrorist, then move up to the next.
I know that game from Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
And yes, it has a great title screen because it's just a digitized version of the movie poster.
Of like the VHS art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Nakatomi Plaza on it.
And that's right on the cusp. That's 1990 release.
Woo! What year's the movie from?
88.
Yeah.
Wow. What a weird time in which games were like, we got to put out more games. Or like, let's get as many licenses as possible. Do you think it was an arcade game first?
No, that's what I was wondering.
That version, it did come. I think there was a Die Hard arcade game, but not
look that up.
Not that version. Published by Activision.
Yes.
But the developer, I have to look this up. It was a Japanese developer called Pack-In Video.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
I'm glad we didn't get game hung up lie. On like, Japanese developed. We dodged that bullet.
Man. Published by Activision.
I mean, once you eliminate platformer, that is a lot of games gone in that area.
Right?
It's like,
I remember it being top down, but I couldn't have told you much more about it besides the glass meter. But I own it and I've played it.
That's
secretly
cool.
I was hoping you would find out it was a Bruce Willis game and then end up thinking it was Hudson Hawk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. you know what the weirdest game from that era that from a movie was The Untouchables. That's an NES game.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit's pretty weird.
Well, that's weird. Right. That is weird.
Platoon is really weird.
You mentioned Platoon. It's like a totally adult movie that they made for a children's.
I was thinking of Roger Rabbit when we were talking about the cartoon.
I have a vivid memory of playing that game and just being confused and angry. And I'm like 6 years old. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Speaking of confused and angry,
dude, that game is so opaque. I rented a game, but the Days of Thunder was in it when I was a kid. And it was supposed to be something else.
They gave you the wrong game?
So for the whole weekend, I had like the worst racing game. It was just so bad. And I was so disappointed.
Thinking Dick Tracy, too. I was trying to think of the other one.
We were miles.
Dick Tracy. Yeah.
Dick Tracy?
That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Which one?
Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Based on the movie Dick Tracy.
That was a big deal.
So bad.
Yeah, it was.
Madonna's in that movie.
Yeah.
Is Dick Tracy, is that a comic book?
Al Pacino's in that
It's
movie.
A radio an old documentary.
And isn't it also like a Sunday comic strip? Yeah,
like old-timey one.
Yeah.
It's pretty
good. What's the guy's face? The dumb Dick Tracy
movie? Yeah, I always think of him. It's good.
It was like Al Pacino that played him in that, right?
But what's the character's
name? Lightface? No, that's from Batman.
I want to say it's like Shoe Face or just something stupid.
Mugshot.
Really bad.
Warren Beatty played Dick Tracy. It's actually a pretty good cast.
That's right.
All right, before we go, I want to give a shout out to our listener, Clark Petrie. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. He wrote in, he's in the military, he's career military, and he wanted to show his appreciation for the show. But he says, it's important to explain the military has significant restrictions on gift giving. Hmm. So they came up with the idea of these coins that they issue, I guess, to specific soldiers. Is that how, or members of the military? Is that how you understand it?
I mean, it sounds like they can just.
We have a long history of challenge coins being fair game for exchange. In a culture as rigid as ours, coins are an area where total freedom of creation exists. While most are round and about the size of a poker chip, some are of incredible shapes, sizes, and artistry. So he says, I regret being able to shake your hand this to you in person. I hope both of you would accept my personal coin. I'm presently serving as a commanding officer. One side has that title, my rank and name, along with the commanding officer, ashore insignia. The other is part of Teddy Roosevelt's famous man in the arena quote, something I found inspiration from my entire life. So Clark, that's very, very, very cool.
So
that's
awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, very thoughtful. We're lucky enough in this line of work that we just get cool things in the mail sometimes, and this is definitely up there as very honored and blessed and very thankful that you know, we're able to bring people so much, you know, sort of joy and entertainment, and it really meant a lot to me personally to see that letter come in.
That's awesome. Yeah, very cool. Thanks for your service. That's great.
Thank you. Here,
Clark. Yep. And that's about it for Game Scoop in 2018. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us all year long, listening and watching us goof off about video games. Let's do it all again next year.
Let's.
Okay. I wasn't going to come back, but since you...
All right, Dan, you ready?
Oh, yeah. That is all the scoops we have for you this year. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, CJ.
Thanks,
Dan. Thank you, Dan, in the booth. Yeah. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. Happy holidays, everybody, and we're out.
I said I would run away as far as I could go. Teach the dogs to pull a sleigh through the white and drifting snow. You brought home a magic box in time for Christmas Day. I chased stars and busted blocks till the feeling went away. Needles in
our bed. Ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985. You walked out into the wind to warm up Grandma's car, but you never came back in, lost beyond the fog of war. Scrolls unfold in front of me, and I am in control. Wires from the old TV through my hands and to my soul. Needles in the vacuum, ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.